Today is Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and we will be joined at 8 by Boomer Esiason, and we'll break down that loss, yes, that horrific loss yesterday for your New England Patriots and the rest of the NFL with Boomer at 8, and then we will talk with Gerard Mayo here at 9:30. This is Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I just want to chime in saying we already knew where the Pats were before the season started. We watched game one. We got kind of pleasantly surprised. But then from there on, we knew we were in trouble. And here's the deal, man. We always have been asking for an offensive line. 4 years ago, I asked for bulldozers and guys with athletic ability on the line so they can move people for the running back and get the wide receivers time to catch a ball. But you know what? This product they have right now is horrible. Where, you know what? You like watching the NFL, but you know what? You got to watch other teams now instead, yeah, unfortunately. No. And lastly, I want to say one thing about Mayo. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you have to pick another. You have to pick another team. I mean, you got to root for somebody else. Have you chosen one, Tim?
Yeah, you know what? I've watched a few. I just like seeing a good product. Bottom line, I'm a football guy. I played football. I was an offensive guy. But I want to talk about Mayo 1 second. Yeah. Mayo's at a point right now where he can't do nothing. I truly believe he can't even put that quarterback, one of the two quarterbacks that are possible, to even see what they look like. That's the sad thing. I don't know what Kraft's done, but Kraft has definitely got the wrong guys in the spot.
All right, thank you. Gerard Mayo. We'll talk to him at 9:30, and he's a great interview.
Right.
I'm assuming that he'll. He said he was going to watch film the whole flight home, and I am assuming that upon watching film, he'll see the same thing that the rest of us saw. But he'll come in here and say that I'm guessing that Jacoby Brissett is your starter again this week. And
so annoying. What is he seeing on film that the rest of us are not seeing?
You played the game, so you know reads better than I know reads. That pick six, I don't know. Pop Douglas is wide open.
Right.
Like, I don't understand. I don't understand throwing that football. I don't understand what we're doing with Jacoby Brissett, expecting that he's going to help you win football games more so than what you may have in Drake May.
And the thing is, when people go, well, he's not ready. He's not ready to make reads, or he's not ready to do this.
Was Jaden Daniels ready?
No, listen, I agree. My thing
we're
is...
We're losing anyway.
No, but my thing is
I just
Jacoby
really
Brissett's not, like, doing the right
That's
thing.
What I mean.
So if he's not doing the right things, well, why wouldn't you throw a guy in that has better talent, that has a higher ceiling, better skill set? Now, is the offensive line struggling? Yes. But there were maybe three sacks that he had. Were him holding on to the ball too long, or his inability to just say, you know what, I'm going to tuck it and run?
I mean, he was sacked 4 times in the first half. There's just the problem is that this whole argument about Drake May getting killed because of how horrendous the offensive line is may have just gotten stronger over this weekend. It may have had the opposite effect. Like, I'm sitting there yesterday, and I'm like, great, there's absolutely no way that Gerard Mayo is not going to walk in here on Monday morning and say Drake May is our starter. But they may look at it the exact opposite way. They may say, you know what, at this point, forget about it. We're going to get the kid killed. We're going to ruin him as an NFL quarterback if he's in these games, getting destroyed, scrambling for his life. They may look at it that way.
I don't think Gerard does, though. I think if it was up to Gerard, he'd be pulling Jacoby during that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. He put him in the Jets game. He didn't play him at all yesterday.
Well, what happened pregame, Greg? I'll tell you. Ian Rappaport reported that Drake May is nowhere near the football field. The only reason Robert Kraft, I believe, leaks that to Ian Rappaport, or Jonathan, more likely, I don't know, I'm just guessing, leaks that to Ian Rappaport is to tell Gerard Mayo in no uncertain terms, this isn't up to you, it's up to us. It reminds me of last year when Bill and Robert were fighting back and forth about Mac Jones and dueling reports from Ian Rappaport. That is not a functional football team. I was told the silos were gone, that this was a collaborative approach. Then why are you leaking that pregame to Ian Rappaport?
Why would Kraft not, in your theory, why does Kraft not want to play Drake May?
Because he will, the guy that he hired, Elliot Wolf,
right,
will be further embarrassed when the third overall pick goes down with the season-ending injury because they didn't create an offensive line around him, and they didn't put any money into offensive weapons surrounding the quarterback other than Osborne, the second coming of Randy Moss. Awful offseason up and down, and the worst part about it is that they sit there now and they're telling their head coach, who wants to play Drake May, you can't. And I thought the whole point of Jerod Mayo was that this was going to finally be an organization that from top to bottom was going in the same direction. And we're not even to the bye yet, and it's clearly they are not.
See, I think you made a really good point on Saturday during the award-winning Curtis and Ken show.
Thank you. Ken sucks.
Which I was listening to the whole entire way up to Lake Winnipesaukee.
I'm kidding, Ken. I love you.
And that is that they went into this season maybe thinking that Bill was going to have a job elsewhere and would be paid by somebody else.
People don't understand that, Greg. They think it's different than the salary cap. There's a budget for the football operation.
Doesn't matter, because people were texting you and saying, Curtis, coach's salary has nothing to do with salary cap. Doesn't matter. You're running a business, and you think you're going to be able to avoid $25 million or whatever the number is, and then suddenly you're not because Bill doesn't land somewhere else.
Right.
That you don't. You're not going to spend that money. I think that's a great point.
So then you think that they weren't in on Ayuk then?
They could be in on Ayuk and still spend $50 million more. This roster wasn't a player.
I know that. But if your theory is they don't want to spend money on the offensive line because they're paying Bill,
right,
then the whole
I just look at the end result. I don't care who they called or who they texted or who they flirted.
But I'm asking you. You believe. All of that stuff where there were reports out there that the Patriots made Brandon Ayuk the highest offer.
Smoke and mirrors.
You believe that was false.
They knew he was never coming here.
Right.
I believe they knew he was never coming here.
So you believe they never even made him that offer?
No, they could make any offer they want. Just like, you know, Greg could walk up to, Bar Raffaele prior to Lynn's and say, hey,
yeah, but if you
I
make
love
an,
you, but he's not going to say yes.
But, if you make an offer.
Wait, interesting poll with Bar Raffaele.
I don't know why that popped in my head. Very attractive woman.
Yes, but not really a super popular supermodel at this point.
Okay, well, you know, maybe we're looking, the Patriots look for diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, like you would have gone M-Rot.
Yeah, I think Emily Ratajkowski would be my choice.
But there's always,
if I were not taken.
Delta Burke, more age appropriate.
But there's always a chance, Greg, if you make that offer or you make that move, there's a chance they might say yes.
Right, so they were happy maybe it would have happened, but they knew it wasn't going to happen. And the way in which they built this roster has been with $30 million. They thought, I think when Jerod Mayo sat in here and said, we're going to burn some cash, he thought they were going to, because they all thought Bill was going to go somewhere else. And the same people that say that Bill's salary has nothing to do with it were all the ones saying last year they got a jumbotron for $200 million instead of actually signing players.
Ready to burn some cash.
Jerod Mayo will join us here at Gillette at 9:30. This is Mike from Florida. Mike, good morning.
Hey guys, what's up? Happy Monday, I guess.
Not really, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, not at all. But so I've been on everyone's pretty much on the show's side when it comes to why not just start the kid. He's going to eventually have to like figure it out at some point. But I'm starting to see something that I don't think I expected this way, but When I'm watching this team, you guys keep comparing him and saying, you know, all these other rookie quarterbacks. You can't compare him and the situation, not necessarily him, but you can't compare the situation to these other teams with rookie quarterbacks, because this offensive line, the offense in general, is so abysmal that when it comes to quarterback and developing a quarterback, I don't know if Jerod Mayo's thinking, you know what, the most important thing when it comes to developing a young quarterback is, you know, timing and getting him acclimated to, you know, real life football. But it's so bad that it's like you almost don't want to hurt him by putting him in a situation that is so bad and not common to the rest of the NFL. You know, it's almost like just keep the kid on the sideline until we figure out how to make this work in any way, shape, or form. It is not working at all.
Yeah. So, no, so then you're saying set him all year.
What? Go, Wiggy?
I said then explain to me why people say Mike and other people will put him in week 14 or week 15. So what's
the
difference?
I don't think they want to do that, Wiggy.
No.
It's almost like they want to sit him the whole season until they can get a better draft pick next year. I agree with you. It's a ridiculous way to look at things. But they really dropped the ball when it came to putting some minor pieces in place to have this kid successful.
But right, here's the
Mike,
thing
thank
that,
you.
That makes
thank
no you. Sense, Greg. If he gets in week 16, and that's where he begins, and he blows out his knee, he's out next year entirely.
Right.
If he comes in now and plays, and he gets hurt in a couple weeks, he can actually be ready to go next year. So you might even delay it by 2 years if you wait for him to get hurt at the end of the year.
I don't think it is correct, but my fear is that they are sitting here this morning and saying, well, you know, we lost David Andrews, so now there's no chance that we can get him in there until, you know, end of the season.
So are they going to do a refund of all the season ticket holders that have to watch this product?
I don't know. I don't know where you go to get your money back, Curtis. I don't know.
I don't know how you say we're doing a rebuild, but you can't even build anything all year. What are you building? What are you building this year? What is sustainable that you're going to have for the future that you're building right now?
And your third overall pick, the guy that you want to be your future, you're basically saying we're sitting him all year because we're afraid if we play him, the offensive line stinks, and he's going to get hurt. But Curtis is right. If you wait till the end of the year and he gets hurt at the end of the year, then see you later. He's done for the majority of next year. At least if something was to happen at the beginning of the year, you potentially could get him back the beginning of next season. But if you're going into it with the mindset of we're afraid to play a guy because he's going to get hurt, then why even pick that guy?
The two arguments that you hear are either he is going to get hurt physically or he's going to be destroyed mentally. Those are the two arguments that have started to be floated about.
Right, but the only way you get hurt mentally, Greg, in any sport, in anything you do, is when your employer doesn't show confidence in you. That's what hurt Mac Jones. Mac Jones had a good rookie year, but then his second year, his employer, Bill Belichick, and Matt Patricia, after they heard that he went talking behind their back, showed no confidence in him at all. If Gerard Mayo puts him in there and Alex Van Pelt put him in there and they're saying to him week in and week out, hey, don't worry about it. You're our guy. We know you threw a couple interceptions, but we are sticking with you. That will mentally give him the confidence he needs to not worry that, okay, they're losing faith in me.
And they aren't going to flip a switch and this team be unbelievable. So I don't want a quarterback right now that can be easily ruined mentally because it might take a bit for them to all get back to greatness. Yeah. It's going to take a few years. It's going to take a more than just, you know, the switch at quarterback for them to be back at the top. So I want to know right now, instead of wasting a full year under Jacoby Brissett, who we know is not the future of this team, if Drake May can handle the pressure.
Yeah. That's the only time you get ruined mentally is when your coaching staff and your coaches don't show you the confidence verbally on the way that they're coaching. That's the only way you get ruined.
And the only reason we're here, Greg, is because Elliott Wolf is covering his ass. He didn't do a good enough job building an offensive line to protect the franchise quarterback. So he's protecting himself, not Drake May. Elliott Wolf is doing this to save his own job, not to prepare Drake May properly for the NFL.
All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about on a Patriots Monday. We are going to get to our leads next, I promise. So leads from Shime and from Curtis and from Courtney and from Wiggy all coming up next. And that means that a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports will follow. And then we will get to Boomer Esiason at 8 and Gerard Mayo with us at 9:30 from Gillette Stadium here on WEEI.